Lunchtime Live on News Talk.
Thanks to VideoDoc. See a GP online anytime for prescriptions and sick notes. Download the VideoDoc app. VideoDoc.ie.
This is Ciara and this is a Lunchtime Live podcast from News Talk. If you like what you hear, don't forget that you can subscribe via the app or on iTunes and make sure to check us out at newstalk.com/lunchtimelive. Thanks for listening.
A debate is brewing. We've often talked about the Irish language here on the show, and very little seems to get people as exercised as the Irish language. But a debate is brewing about Dingle of all places, Gaeltacht status. An Irish tourist penned a letter to the Irish Independent complaining about the lack of Irish he heard being spoken there on a recent trip. So is it true that spoken Irish is not part of the day-to-day life in Dingle? And if not, what do we need to do about it? Do we need to do anything about it? And do we indeed need to reconsider what Gaeltacht status actually means? To discuss all of this, I'm joined now by Áine Moynihan, who is a language planner in Dingle, and also in studio here by Padraig
O'Quivonig.
See, that's so bad. That's how bad I am at Irish. Broadcaster with Radio Na Liffa and co-founder, of course, we've spoken before, Padraig, of the pop-up Gaeltacht. I might come to you first, Padraig. Did you read the letter that was in the Independent?
I did. I read it.
He said people where he stayed in whatever, I don't know, was he a hotel or B&B, couldn't speak Irish. People where he ate, the pubs he was in, no one spoke Irish to him and he was disappointed.
Yeah, so, I mean, I understand if that was his experience, I'd be disappointed. I love staying in Dingle. I love Kirkaghina. The Dingle Peninsula is probably my favourite place on earth, and I love going down there. And I would say that I've almost shared that experience that this man had, John Lee from Cork, who wrote the letter to the Independent. But I would say it's not a case that people couldn't speak Irish. It's that people, when I was there, at least in my own personal experience, were not in the habit of immediately speaking Irish to people on entry to a pub or on entry to a B&B. All the instructions I got as to where the room was and how the shower worked and when breakfast would be served were in English. And then when I turned around and sort of used the couple of fuckers, oh, Gurumagat, they were perfectly fluent then at that stage. I think people just have this reticence because 99% of the tourist trade that rolls through, 99.99%, an infinitesimal number of decimal points of the tourist trade that rolls in rely on English to communicate. It's kind of second nature now not to open the conversation with Irish, which is what I find very disappointing because I feel it could be a real selling point in the area.
Are you saying it's a bit like when somebody kind of pasty skinned like me turns up at a bar in Spain or whatever, they say, what would you like to drink? Even though clearly they are not English speakers as their first language, they're Spanish. But they recognise from my lack of olive skin that I am not Spanish and they just default to English.
Or in certain bars in Spain, they'll just default to English regardless of what you look like. You might walk in with your Spanish friends and it will be like, would you like a round of drinks? What can I get you? Even if you've been practising your Spanish diligently for the holiday, even if you turned up with the little diccionario in your hand and you wanted to say, dos cervezas, por favor, with your best...
Which is about my only Spanish, yes.
Me too. I can order a paella as well, but that's about it. Even if you wanted to do that, just in the tourist industry a lot of the time, and look, I've worked behind the bar as a youngster, you know what I mean? You just want to get the order in and get to the next one, so it's how do I cut through this crap and just get you served. I do find it disappointing, I find it disheartening, because if you go just a couple of miles down the road to Lispol or Ballinar Teirig or Dunchuin, you'll be greeted in Irish everywhere, left, right and centre. The language is alive and well in Dingle. That's the one bit of the letter I don't agree with. I don't think it's not there. I think you just have to dig at it, and that's what I find disappointing. And I remember speaking to a barman in one of the pubs in Dingle about this, and he was saying that, look, it's just we're not in the habit of using it because Americans that come over, and it's largely Americans that come over, they don't know much about the language. They don't want to know about the language. They want Darby O'Gill and the little people. They want, you know, a tug of the forelock and
Irish rather than what are you having, sir?
What can I get you, sir? A pint of porter.
Áine, can I bring you in here? You can hear what Padraig is saying about it. Is that the case that people are defaulting to English? And if that is the case, are they shooting themselves in the foot when one of the reasons people go to Dingle, apart from the fact that it's a very beautiful town and it is lovely and it's all that kind of stuff, is that people like to try and get some kind of an Irish experience there that they might not get anywhere else?
Absolutely, absolutely. And I can't agree more with Padraig. I agree with everything he says. There's plenty of Irish in Dingle, but the problem is people are maybe not thinking about how important it is to let people know they have it. So that when somebody comes in and speaks in English, they'll automatically default back to English. And you might not know at all that there's Irish there. But I do my business, I do my shopping every day in Dingle through Irish in almost every shop. It is possible. If you address somebody in Irish, they will immediately respond in Irish. But definitely, I think it's very important that people realise that this is happening.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think this is probably, it's probably a good thing, this controversy or this publicity around it, because I think it will maybe give people the necessary little push they need to remind them.
This might encourage people.
How important. Yeah, it's so important. I mean, we are in danger of losing the language in the Gaeltacht. I know there's plenty of Irish still there, but we need to look after what we have. We need to decide what's important to us, what our values are. Certainly it is, as I recently highlighted at a meeting of tourist operators here in Dingle, it is a unique USP. And I said it in spite of myself, because I actually hate to turn it into a product, but actually it is something that attracts people. People love to come. I mean, I've had dealings with visitors from all over the world over the years, and they absolutely love to come in. Some of them come to hear the language. It is important.
Well, that's what I would have thought, that you might be shooting yourselves in the foot by being hospitable by speaking English to people.
Yes.
But, when they then think that's because you don't actually speak Irish yourselves, that may dilute, I suppose, the Gaeltacht experience.
Right. And I mean, that's one of the things we're highlighting in the plan Tonga, in the plan that we're engaged in, which is a plan that's being facilitated all over the country. Some of them are finished now. All the Gaeltacht have to put together a plan, and then they'll be given 7 to 9 years to implement this plan. It's coming from an Act of Parliament or an Act of the Dáil. It's coming to try and help to preserve, to save the language. It's like, it's a challenge, if you like, to the Gaeltacht. I mean, the people outside the Gaeltacht, there's fantastic movement, the Gaelscoil movement, the pop-up Gaeltacht. Padraig's doing great work, fair play though. But, you know, we do need to be reminded here. Sometimes it's a matter of maybe not being aware of what's right under your nose that you have, and not maybe valuing it, being a little bit complacent maybe. But I think we can't afford to be complacent in the Gaeltacht. We really need to work on this. And hopefully this plan, which will, I think, help people to make the language more visible in the town. We're discussing ways we can actually have more signs available in different businesses to let people know that they can do their business through Irish. Even though, you know, there are many, many people who've moved here who have no Irish, we find that often it's the people from other countries who make the biggest effort in terms of learning the language who are really interested in learning the language. They need to be helped.
Let me bring you back in, Padder. And I take what both of you are saying. You're saying, well, maybe people defaulted to English out of, you know, facilitating people or hospitality or whatever it is. But John Leahy, what he actually says in his letter, he says none of the staff at their accommodation could speak even basic Irish. And he said he was met with similar issues on visiting other businesses around. And he said nobody seemed embarrassed or apologetic even that they couldn't speak Irish. That's not quite the same thing as we're talking about. That's not the sort of thing people saying, well, I won't use the English because because I don't think you have it. I'll speak English to facilitate you. What he is actually saying is that the people he met who lived and worked in the town couldn't speak Irish either.
Is
that a true reflection, do you think?
It's not a true reflection based on my own experience of being in Dingle. And I'm a regular visitor to Dingle, as many people who'd be listening in are now. I don't think that... Really, before I read the letter, I really couldn't have thought anybody would think that there's no ability, no capacity to speak Irish in Dingle. I would have, like many Irish speakers, I would have highlighted the reticence to use it myself. And for many Gaeltacht residents, there is often a reticence to use Irish in a performative manner, like to help somebody live out their, you know, I want to help you live out your Gaeltacht fantasy. So that happens quite often. It's often spoken about in Connemara, where people go down, they go into the shops, they try to use their cúpla focal and, yeah, okay, yeah, that's 50p. Thanks a million. Goodbye.
Lar from Dublin has said exactly that. He says, I've been to Dingle loads of times. I've always spoken in English and never expected or wanted anyone to talk to me in Irish. Great town, great crack. No need for the Irish. I don't speak much Irish. And as Claire, I can hardly pronounce your name, Padder. And my apologies about that. But here's the thing. I like the idea of us being bilingual as a nation and all that kind of stuff. Tell me this. Within the Gaeltacht areas, within areas like the Dingle Peninsula, are the schools all Gaelic schools or not?
Well, I mean, you'd have to ask someone who lives their entire lives in the Gaeltacht. Well, but yes,
in our Gaeltacht areas, are our schools Gael schools or not?
Theoretically speaking, yes, they are. I mean, look,
only theoretically.
It's been a long time since I was in school, Ciara, so I don't know. And I'm not a Moontour or a Kigara. I'm not an inspector, so I wouldn't know. Look, I mean, they're. Gael Scoileanna are an important part of language planning, as Áine would tell you, as an important part of a bilingual island, absolutely. I went to a Gael school in Dublin myself, but I'll tell you one thing. When I was a kid and the Moontour was telling you have to speak Irish all the time, the first thing we did when we got out the school gate was revert to English. And I can't imagine that being much different in the Gaeltacht. You want to have that rebellious streak. You want to do something that kicks back against the culture and the society around you. So you might be onto something that there may be a failing in the Gael school in the Gaeltacht, but you'd have to ask someone who regularly.
Yeah, and I'm going to let you go, actually, because we're going to take a quick ad break. That is,
I'd really like to respond to that one if I get a chance.
Briefly tell me what you think of that.
There's a distinction between Gael Scoileanna and Scoileanna Gaeltachta.
Okay.
And my experience of Scoileanna Gaeltachta here in this area is that, yes, they do work through Irish. The children do their work through Irish. But there's a push even now with the language plan to actually have immersion for the first couple of years for the infants who are coming. So they do nothing else but Irish. And, you know, that's terribly important.
Yeah.
It's timely, it's needed.
Yeah.
But yes, Scoileanna Gaeltachta are Scoileanna, I mean, Fáimú, Tríobháin na Gaeltachta. They do work through Irish.
But are you saying that Scoileanna Gaeltachta are not fully immersed? They're not like Gael Scoileanna?
There would have certain subjects, I mean, they would have had to do, say, English through English, obviously. But they would have done everything else through Irish. But now the infants coming in will have nothing but Irish.
Okay.
For Irish. That first couple of years.
We will let you go, but thank you indeed for that. That is Áine Moynihan there, language planner in Dingle. We're going to hang on to you, Padraig. I'm going to come back after the break because I've got a good few callers on the line as well as loads and loads of texts on this. And I do think it's a very important topic. So stay with us. More on the Gaeltacht and on Dangan just after this. And you're very welcome back to Lunchtime Live with Ciara here. Now, I am still joined in studio by Padraig. Say your name.
Padraig O'Quivonic.
O'Quivonic. It's not that hard. There's something wrong with me, clearly. And we are talking about that letter to the Independent about a guy who was from Cork who went to Dingle and said nobody could speak Irish. Nobody could even try to speak Irish, and they weren't even apologetic or embarrassed about the fact that they couldn't speak Irish. And we're talking about the Gaeltacht and what it means. And lots of people are getting in touch on the phone lines and indeed on the text line about it. Someone says, hi Ciara, in Dingle we hear fluent German, Belgian and Dutch spoken daily all over the place. The native Irish speaker is probably on his day off. However, I was in Dalkey recently and everyone spoke fluent Irish with the Dort accent. Well, we all love the Dort accent, don't we? Someone else says, I had a great tour of the Dingle Peninsula last week, Osgailige, by the inimitable Seamus of Killarney. The future of the language is sound, and that's from Dimpna. And John in Kilkenny says, Ciara, the Gaeltacht status is for the whole of the Dingle Peninsula. Dingle itself is a massive tourist hub with people of all nationalities. I was there last week, though, and the outside of Dingle itself, in places like Ballyferriter and Ballydavid, I openly heard people speaking Irish in the shops and the bars. It might be a bit different in Dingle. Would that be your experience as well, Padder, that inside Dingle, where it is very, I suppose, cosmopolitan, everywhere.
It is. They are from everywhere. And a lot of people who visit Dingle, stay in Dingle, and they might get the bus tour around Sleighhead, and they might get off the bus to eat in Ballyferriter, but they get back on, they're gone, they don't stay out further on the peninsula. So when you get out to places like Cian Sibéil and Dunchuin and Ballinagall and other places, you do hear, like, Irish is the vernacular. It is the vernacular. You walk into the pub and that's what you're greeted. You go to Cruger's in Dunchuin and you're greeted Osgailge. You can order Osgailge. I went to the Dingle Peninsula with my wife a while ago, who doesn't speak a lot of Irish, and she was very comfortable in Dingle because she got by entirely on her cúpla focal, but got completely swamped and lost thereafter when we went to a B&B in Dunqueen.
you could make up all sorts behind her back. Stay with me there for a second, Patrick. I'm joined now on the line by Paul Gainey, who is a Kerry GAA star and helps manage his family's pub, Gainey's Bar and Restaurant, down in Dingle. Paul, you, I don't know if you've heard all of the conversation we've just had, but we've had this letter to the Independent from an Irish lad, he's from Cork, saying he was over in Dingle and there was ne'er a cúpla focal spoken anywhere. What do you make of that?
Hi, Ciara.
How are you?
I'm good. Yeah, no, I saw the letter, and obviously, you know, Padder there knows the area very well, and he's spoken very well there about, you know, the happenings day to day, and Áine was on there as well. But yeah, look, it depends on your experience as an individual coming to Dingle. I mean, as you just said there, it's very cosmopolitan, I suppose, this time of year with tourism starting March, you know, and it goes on as far as maybe late November, And then you have a couple of months off are kind of still touristy at the moment. You know, it's a big part of our business here. And then as of that, then you have mostly Americans and international people. So I suppose when they do come into businesses like ours, that, you know, you do greet them straight away. They probably have difficulty understanding our English, not mind our Irish. So, if it is the eve or, you know, they wouldn't know what
but
you're
Paul,
saying.
But,
so I suppose you're supposed to, you know.
You're in the hospitality trade down there. I mean, which do you think is the better course of action for people who are working in areas like yourself? Is it to default to English so that the tourist understands you, or is it to speak Irish so that the tourist kind of gets the sense that they are in somewhere else? I mean, what's the good way to go?
It's a catch 22. As Patter said, maybe it is disappointing in some senses, but you know, we are getting on with day to day business, and you know, you have to be economical as well. Especially during the height of the season, and maybe that's why we've all defaulted to completely speaking English all the time to the customer that comes in the doors, because you have to be economical as well in your service. So you don't have 5 minutes to come, even in conversing in English, you don't have 5 minutes. You know, you have to meet the person, give them the table or get their order and try and get it out to them. And then when you have time, you know, can converse afterwards.
Can I put this to you? We have a texter in, Paul in Kilkenny. He says, just back from Dingle, actually, with the family. We go down every year. No one is mentioning the fact that the majority of service workers in Dingles now, from the shops to the restaurants, are non-nationals. Some of the businesses are owned also by non-Irish people. Nothing wrong with that. That's not what I'm saying. However, we cannot expect an Irish experience with people who are not Indigenous to the area. Is that true? Is it a huge amount of the people who work in Dingle are not Irish in the first place? So therefore, how could they be speaking Irish?
That is true, yeah. You know, the last census had Dingle's population at roughly 2,000 people. You know, that's a small population. So to facilitate, you know, the services that we need to facilitate for our tourists, you know, there's going to be a lot of international workers. We had an Australian working with us. She wouldn't have had Irish, you know.
Sure.
You can't advertise a post as well as, you know, you can't work here unless you have Irish. So for a lot of businesses, you just need the workforce, and you can't get all native Irish speakers to work, especially during these months where our college students are in college in Limerick and Cork and Dublin, up the country, you know, in the summer.
Okay.
A lot of them will be back and they'd have Irish.
Okay.
So, you know, and you have an older population, out of that 2,000 people, you have an older population there as well that, you know, wouldn't be at the coalface of the businesses.
Sure.
You know,
I appreciate that.
Even for the, just on that here, the foreign nationals, you know, the next generation of those are going through the schools here, and the schools are excellent in Dingle. You know, the two primary schools and the secondary school, you wouldn't get better Irish. So, you know, the next generation of those people would be, you know, they'll come out bilingual. They'll come along as well.
All right. Thank you for that, Paul. Thanks for talking to us. Jim, another one of our listeners, is on the line. Jim, what do you think about it? Do you think that our Gaeltacht areas are not as Gaeltachty as they might be?
Well, I'm not. It's a long time since I was in Dingle, but there are parallels that I would draw, and I think part of the issue is that, I mean, even when it was drawn up, whenever it was, the boundaries of the Gaeltacht were unrealistic. I mean, there are loads of towns that are officially in the Gaeltacht, like Belmullet and Dunloe. You'd rarely hear the word of Irish in them. I mean, and even, I come from an area that's officially Gaeltacht, but the language, and I'm 62 years old, and the language that I and my contemporaries spoke, although we had the capacity, but the language in Irish, but the language that we spoke, our vernacular was English, and not alone us, but our parents' generation. I mean, my father would be 109 if he was alive, and the language that he and his contemporaries spoke was English, even though they had, perfect capacity to speak Irish. I don't know. I'm not making any particular point, I suppose, but I mean, there are loads of towns and villages. I could name dozens of them off the top of my head that are officially in the Gaeltacht, but the lingua franca, if that's the correct word.
Yeah, I think it is.
Our words is English and has been for a long, long time. I suppose the best way to judge a lot of that used to be anyway, when people used to do it. In what language is the ordinary Sunday Mass? I mean, I know I grew up in the Gaeltacht, and I can remember from 1960, the language was English. And indeed in neighbouring parishes, which would have a certain reputation for their Gaelicus.
All right. But English
was still, and another thing, by the way, while I think of it, if Irish were the vernacular in Dingle, Why would there be a need for language planners?
Now you're asking the really tricky questions. I think we're going to have to let you go. But thank you for that.
Okay,
thank you for that indeed, Jim.
Could I point out that the amount of priests that speak Irish is probably more important when it comes to what vernacular the Mass is rather than how many people in the area speak Irish.
Yes. I do accept that. I haven't managed to get through all the texts on this because people feel very strongly about Irish and about what we're doing right and what we're doing wrong. For what it's worth, I think unless we get kids young and speak it at home, or if we're not going to speak it at home, immerse them in school, we're on a hiding to nothing. But it seems to me we are moving in that direction a little bit, although I certainly don't think we are. My sincere thanks to all our callers, and indeed to Padder, who's here in studio with me.
Thanks again for listening to this Lunchtime Live podcast. Please do subscribe via the app or on iTunes, and check us out on newstalk.com/lunchtimelive. Talk to you again soon.